This episode of the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you by Divas Muerte at BrokenSoulPress.com. A war-torn world on the verge of peace finds itself faced with a grim prophecy and a terrifying enemy. Now in the final days of their world, two warring kingdoms must unite and defend their planet against invading demons from the stars. Divas Muerte is updated every Tuesday at BrokenSoulPress.com.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Little boy Blue, he needed the money. Well, webcomics, sir.
Yes. But anyway, welcome to episode 87 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me we have, dependable as always, Mark Savory at AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
Awesome. And welcoming back Tanya, who is not as dependable to be here. I'm just... I love you, Tanya.
I've been promoted. You've become the third wheel.
Of Betapone.com. Welcome, Tanya.
I still have better tits. Hi.
Yes, yeah, you do. I mean, I didn't see him fully though, but I'm willing to bet that yes, you do.
I have potato chips and chocolate bars here. I'm working on it. I think it's going to the wrong places.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you have better tits than me.
I think that's probably something you can live with. I'll be all right.
And we're hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting site and community at rampagenetwork.com. And right now, their featured comic is Out at Home. The Becketts are a fairly normal, boring family. Well, except for one of them used to be a superstar athlete and has all the common sense of a tomato. And another is a 9-year-old hot dog eating champion. And they hang around with I can't even say what that word is. Centenarian action star and a girl who can see through time and see if God damn it, I suck. If I don't have enough time to prepare it. Anyway, check out at home, out-at-home.com. And you can even see that link on our website at webcomicbeacon.com. And speaking...
It's right there.
Yeah, speaking of webcomicbeacon.com, we are now doing something called the Beacon Newsflash, which is a little weekly update of quick news and links, and you can check it out at webcomicbeacon.com. Click on the sidebar, Beacon Newsflash, or just go webcomicbeacon.com/newsflash. Anyway, this week we have a guest with us, and it's Sean Harrington. Is that correct?
Yes,
that's correct. With the webcomic Spine with Lana, and the... Do you have an easier-to-remember URL than that?
Afraid not, actually. I think just HarringtonArtworks.com you could go to. You can pretty well find it from there, I guess. Otherwise, you got to do the /lana.htm. But
yeah, but nobody can remember Harrington-Artworks spelled funny.com.
Yes, but definitely don't need the dash, but otherwise, yes, about it. But I gave up on people like typing my thing in themselves a long time ago. So, clicking on ads pretty well. I got these sites a long time ago when I was doing something different and pretty much before I was doing comics or anything, and it hadn't occurred to me that that might be a problem. So,
right. Well, you can always get another URL. I mean, I have 10.
Probably a little late for that at this point, I suppose, but
not really. I mean, it's never.
It's never too late to sink into neurosis, is what he's saying.
Yeah, just go to GoDaddy and get go to GoDaddy and you can get a domain for like $8 a year. Or so,
yeah, I suppose I could. Yeah, it sounds a bit like work though, which I try not to avoid as well.
You are a web comic artist. Excellent.
Well, yes, I try. It's about all I try to do, actually.
Anyway, well, before we get into the actual topic of the show, as I've seen with, I think, some of your other comics as well as Spine with Lana, that it looks, I want to ask how you do it. It looks like you use a combination of CG and then painting over it or something like that. Can you explain how you get the look that you have?
Well, what I do is I actually just draw the characters like, you know, pencil and paper, and then I color them in Photoshop, and I do generally 3D backgrounds and stuff like that, mainly because I hate drawing backgrounds. So I pretty much just I use my 3D backgrounds, and sometimes I'll do stuff like adding some different other 3D elements, like, you know, swords or guns and stuff, because I hate drawing those too. So mainly I just I draw like the people out and color them in Photoshop, and then do a 3D background, usually in something like Bryce or Vue or one of those programs, and then just kind of stick it all together in Photoshop.
Wait a second. Okay, so if I go to your Spine with Lana homepage, I mean, obviously I can tell that that's CG there. But then when you get to the characters, you're saying that's all Photoshop?
You know, the characters, yeah, I don't... I just draw them out in pencil and paper and scan them in to Photoshop, and then just color them there.
But it looks like it's like you look at your the Project Wonderful ad space where you have Lana there, and even the first three first three rows of your comic, it looks like CG a little bit, but like kind of like you know what I'm talking about, cell framed almost, cell animated almost. It looks cell animated is I guess the word I'm looking for. And you're saying you did that entirely in Photoshop?
Yeah. I'm trying to do a little better now to try to, you know, integrate a little better with the 3D background. Some of my earlier stuff, it was a little kind of glaring that it didn't really fit in that well. So I've been trying to recently, you know, kind of work with the things afterwards, with some of the things like some blurring and some things like that in Photoshop to make everything kind of integrate a bit better.
That's crazy. But, wow. I mean, Tanya, do you know what I'm talking about?
Not necessarily. I don't think I understand what you mean by...
Okay. Are you on the Spine with Lana homepage?
I'm trying to get my computer to work. I'm having some issues. Ask Mark for a second until I get this figured out. I looked at it earlier, but I don't think I...
Because I'm looking at the ad, and I'm looking at her breasts, and I'm looking at her ab or belly button, and it looks computer... Almost, and if you're telling me that's all Photoshop, wow.
Well, it's
unfortunately, no one advertises with me, so actually those ads are always there to compare.
Yeah,
but yeah, actually I just color it all in Photoshop. Yeah.
Wow, that's
do you do your inking on paper as well, or do you ink in Photoshop?
Actually, I don't ink at all. Actually, I just pretty well darken in Photoshop. Actually, I hate inking too, so I pretty well just I never do that anymore either. So
okay, so you're darkening the pencils, and then
yeah.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying, Fez.
Okay,
just
to humor me.
Well, I think it's because the paint style that you have almost looks like airbrushed, and so it has that same sort of look that you get with certain CG programs.
Yeah.
Because it's very subtle gradients rather than, you know, often what we see in Photoshop is sort of, this is a shadow line, this is a highlight line. You know, it's a little smoother.
Early on I kind of did a lot of that sort of thing. So I've been trying to get away from that, try to sort of get it to more kind of, you know, blend in with the 3D work so it didn't look like it was just kind of being stuck on top.
Right.
So sometimes I'll do stuff like on the bottom panel, I'm going to do stuff like radial blurs and motion blurs, stuff like that in Photoshop to try to integrate things a little bit so it kind of fits in a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand that. You know, looking at the art style, you know, farther down here on the page and seeing the characters and seeing the backgrounds, I can see where it might look like a stark contrast. It would look like characters sort of standing in front of a picture. It makes sense. I think it blends very nicely.
Yeah, I'm planning to about when I start the next story after this one's finished, I'm planning to go completely to color, just like for everything. I mean, I did the one color page here for like a start of the story, but I'm planning to go full color with the next story, which will probably start in about a month, I think.
Cool.
Mainly because it doesn't actually, I wanted to wait a bit to make sure I could actually, you know, do it in time. And it takes a little bit longer. I want to make sure before I committed to it, you know, that I could actually pull it off and not, you know, miss updates all the time. Sometimes I'm by forgetting about them, I'll be there. I'll be lying in bed and thinking, oh, wait, today was Thursday. And you're rushing downstairs and, you know, turn the computer back on. But I tried it out and got a bit of a buffer, and it seems like I can actually do it. So I'm going to, starting with the next story, try to go full color.
Nice.
Awesome. So, anyway, if anybody hasn't guessed yet or heard beforehand, we're talking about femme fatales on this episode of the Webcomic Beacon, and I figured, you know what? I had some questions about the spine with Lana, and Lana certainly classifies as a femme fatale. And so we can go off on a few angles on this. We can talk about why we like femme fatales. What about it? Like, is it objectifying women a little bit more? I mean, we can come up with a lot of different angles on this. And Tanya, as a woman of your caliber.
I don't know what that means. You might as well have just said, as a whore.
No. What are you going
for there? As a dirty tramp. How do you...
I wasn't even going at that angle, but you said it, so I didn't, but...
okay, as a woman of my caliber, what?
Well, no, because you're obviously not like you're the typical woman that you normally hear about.
No, I sort of fail. I've given it a shot. I'm really bad at it, and I don't like it.
What do you think about femme fatales? You think they're overused, objectified too much, or they like awesome, or whatever? You know.
You know, it's pretty rare that you're ever going to hear me use the word objectified. So, wow, I really hate speaking as a woman for this because I am going to get emails.
Speak as yourself, then. I do.
Yes, but I have a vagina, so automatically people think that I should hold certain opinions. I don't find femme fatales objectifying. And, you know, frankly, I like the concept of, you know, if nothing else, it's a woman using sexuality as a weapon, you know, in a larger arsenal. And I understand why certain people find it objectifying.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't buy the whole political assumption that women are supposed to be sexual in some categories and not in other categories, and only with this type of attitude and this, that, and the other. And I think, you know, most femme fatales are very much portrayed as powerful women. They're mm-hmm. not victims. They're not, you know, putting up with a disgusting attitude in order to get what they want. They seem to enjoy what they do. It seems very positive to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like the power aspect of it. It's sort of a, you know, it's a fetish deal more than anything else.
Oh yeah. I mean there's also a potential to basically, oh, we have a femme fatale, but more or less it's really just an excuse to have overtly sexual scenes and, ooh, wow, look at this camera angle that's going to show her ass. And I mean, obviously, like I mean,
think about the word.
It can certainly lead to very gratuitous content for the purpose of gratuitous content, of course. But it,
well,
you also have
you know,
to have a really good character.
That's just shabby writing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame that on any sort of objectification. That's just lazy writing. for the most part, you know, decently written femme fatales enjoy that sense of power. They enjoy that sense of sexual power. And so it makes perfect sense within their character type.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Mark, what about you?
I don't know any, unfortunately.
Oh, come on. There's got to be some movies or some things that you've seen that
has
a character.
The femme fatale, at least in noir, the femme fatale is usually a bit off her rocker. She's usually like a psychopath. She's never really the heroine. So she always seems to turn out to be a bad person herself. By the end of the movie, like she's the one who set up the murder. She's the one who fingered Johnny Ringo or whatever at the, you know, and that's why he got shot and killed.
Maybe we have the different definition for what a femme fatale is. Yeah.
So we're talking really about vixens, aren't we?
I'm talking about female protagonist that's going to basically be the heroine.
I mean, the difference between a femme fatale and a vixen is that a vixen is often a villain character, which is kind of what you're describing, where a femme fatale is, she is the heroine. You know, she's not necessarily a traditional heroine. It's not like you would see with the hero swooping in to save the day, because she's a bit dirty. But, you know, it's...
Vixens will and vamps won't. But a femme fatale is the fatal woman.
Yes. It's usually in a positive light.
Yeah.
Well, not in the movies. Not in the movies. Not in Out of the Past or any of the big ones.
Well, see, I'm thinking like Aeon Flux was a femme fatale.
Right.
You look at
Lara Croft.
Oh, damn. What was the one with the vampires and the werewolves?
Underworld.
Underworld.
That was. She was a femme fatale. She was, you know, it was a little dampened down because it was, you know, popular movie. But, she was very much a sexy, sexual, powerful woman. But she was in a very positive way.
I suppose Trinity would from the Matrix series.
Trinity was, yeah. But mm-hmm. She just mostly wore leather and shot people. Miss Tree. Now that's a good one. Miss Tree.
Who?
It was a comic strip character, and also in some comic books. She's one of these like fringe characters that people know, called Ms. Tree or Miss Tree, and she was sort of like, I don't remember what she did. If she was like a private detective or what she did, but she was pretty badass too. Modesty Blaze is another one. There you go.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I almost don't give Trinity the femme fatale thing because she really was secondary to Neo's character.
Well, true.
You know, and so you miss all that power there. And that is the one adjective that for me defines, you know, a femme fatale is sexual power.
Sexual power, okay. I mean, okay, and then on top
or
of that, does she have to have a leading role? Or at least the supporting character. I mean, she can be just a character, right? Not necessarily the main one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean, what about your opinion, since you obviously draw a comic with a femme fatale in it?
Well, first of all, I think that Johnny Ringo deserved everything he got, so he's out.
But, just saying.
Yeah, so you can't really blame femme fatale for that. But, I think that... In general, I've always found it sort of interesting sort of character. You mentioned Modesty Blaze. I've read a fair amount of that. They're hard to find anywhere, actually. Now that on eBay you can find them. But I always found it sort of interesting sort of character. Most of my stories, I suppose that I don't try to make them like good stories because that would be hard. So I just try to make them sort of just... something that's, you know, sort of fun, a character like that seems to usually fit in pretty well, that sort of thing. And as far as also, like, you know, like, I guess objectification to a degree, I don't know that that's really the case. Looking at, like, taking Lana for example, in a sense she does most, it's sort of like a satire, but in a sense she does most of the things that, like, James Bond does, per se, whereas people wouldn't say that James Bond objectified men, for instance. So
well,
I don't
true,
know that.
But James Bond never really got naked as much as Lana does. I would have to say that. I really don't think he did.
But that's only because we're so prudish that he's not allowed to.
Oh, okay, Tanya.
Bond was getting action. You know he was.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, recently there's a... It's basically a Playboy kind of, it's a Maxim kind of magazine for women, and they wanted to show semi-aroused men, not even fully aroused men, and the printers refused to do it. So you can't tell me that it's far, you know, naked men are far more censored than naked women.
Depends.
Wait a minute. Well. This is one of those magazines that are going to be at like the gas station with like a covered up cover, right? I don't see why wouldn't they do that? I mean, I don't get it. I mean,
because it was a mass marketed magazine, more like Playboy rather than rather than hardcore porn, and so they said, you know, no, flaccid is all you can show. They wouldn't allow it, and so you know that's why you wind up with that, you know, that odd dichotomy of seeing more naked women than James Bond. Well, we can't show him like that. You know, you're left in this odd point. What do? Show him flaccid in the movie, which not exactly the most virile hero kind of moments in a man's life, or show it as, you know, X-rated. It's just, we're kind of silly about external genitals is what the censors refer to it as.
Of course, then you have to ask, does anyone want to see Roger Moore naked?
Not these days.
Well, if you're looking at it that aspect in movies, if you're looking at movies, obviously they don't usually show the lower genitalia, not even with women. Point to me a movie. There was one movie with Tom Hanks. You see some bush. Way back when. But that's about it. And then I think that's about as comparative as much as you'll see partial. Guy Bush, I guess. Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump actually showed a little.
But it wasn't in a sexual.
John Cleese.
Way.
Well, no, it wasn't was in the sexual way. John Cleese was in Fish Named Wanda.
Yes.
I guess he flashed the camera there.
Yes.
Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, it wasn't hard.
Harold and Kumar.
The thing is that you can show girl boobs, and you know we see that as naked. Yeah. So you know,
double standards. Damn you.
No, there are bare-chested men all over the movies.
Well, I know. I'm just saying in general. I mean, but men can be bare-chested all the time and it not be sexual, but it actually is.
And just in case I'm not going to get enough hate mail, you know, men are more visually stimulated than women by and large. So it would make sense that you would pander to a man's sexual sense more with visuals than you would with women.
Right.
I like how in the movies you can only go down so far with a dress, you know. Well, you can have a low cut dress, but only so far. But you come up from underneath almost as far as you want.
Yeah, that's fine.
You could show underboob.
Have you seen Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay?
No, because it was Harold and Kumar.
You want to see Harold and Kumar? Bottomless party is like the awesomest scene in the movie ever.
Okay.
There is fucking bush everywhere. I'm swearing, and some girl had it dyed like fucking clown hair.
Yeah.
It was like the awesomest scene ever. I was like, this is fucking clown hair.
I knew a girl that dyed hers in a cheetah print.
Cool.
It was awesome.
That's awesome. Anyway, we got to take a break, and we'll just let
What are we doing?
We got to take a quick break, and we'll just let you think about that for a while.
Insane.
And we'll be right back. Two warring kingdoms in the final days of this torn world must unite to face a grim prophecy and defend their planet against terrifying invaders from the stars. Divas Muerte, an epic sci-fi serial written by Curtis Lawson and drawn by Stephen Holcomb II. Tune in every Tuesday at BrokenSoulPress.com for new updates.
Apologize, guest. I don't know what we're doing. You have a very nice comic. Really? I assume we'll talk about it again here shortly.
I don't know. I'm just along for the ride.
Well, I've been waiting to tangent for so long, you know, but Tanya wasn't here.
Well,
you just wanted to talk about boobs. That's all. I know.
When it comes right down to it, on the first page, we have her riding some guy down here. It's not like we weren't going to wind up on a tangent.
Well,
it's
true.
We do,
but that, I mean, she does this with at least once a comic, at least once
a
comic.
Good for her. She's getting it done. She's taking care of business. That's all it is.
A little too large-breasted for me personally, but I mean, they're nice and all, but if I had a choice.
Yeah.
It's for her assistant.
They're a nice distraction, I would imagine.
I'm sorry, what?
Nice distraction.
Wow, it's dolphin noises.
Cackles and dolphins. That's our fest.
Let's see here. Let's see here. What are some other... I'm thinking... Oh, there's a comic called... Oh! There's another... See, I'm missing so many comics on my browser because I totally don't remember what the URLs were because I just check them every once... what is it? The Legend of Zanna? Or something like that. God damn it. Don't remember what it... anybody in the chat room know what that computer-generated comic was with Zanna or the...
I think it's Zona, isn't it? Z-O-N-A, I think.
Z-O-N-A, yeah.
I think it's something like that. If I think of the same one, I mean, I'd be thinking of the same one.
Yeah, it's computer-generated. I wanted Challenges of Zona. Or however you're supposed to say that.
Is Lana based on anyone? Like, I don't know. She looks, her face, you know, is it based on an actress or a singer, anything like that, or
no, it's basically just like the main face that I draw. I don't think I'm really good enough to draw actually anything that kind of looks like anyone. I pretty much drawing like people is not really my strong suit. I've tried a few times and it usually comes out looking fairly weird, so actually somewhere it's fairly weird anyway, the way I draw faces, but no, it's pretty much just kind of more like I kind of go for the have like an idea of the character kind of in my mind and try to just get as close to that as I can, but not really like based off of anybody per se now.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Are you serious?
No, I was a little bit.
What's wrong with you?
Because you asked the question, so I was like, okay, I got time to look for the comic. No, but I know what you said. You can't really draw other people, so it's really
because she has a sort of a cool '80s look, a bit. I don't know. For some reason, it reminds me of
the '80s.
Yeah, well, her hair a little bit has sort of an '80s thing going on, and her eye makeup. Like, it kind of reminds me of I don't know, Pat Benatar back then or something.
You know, I was
a little bit.
That's her, maybe.
That's not a bad thing at all, I'm just saying.
Except for when she's doing the, like, latex jumpsuit ponytail thing.
Well, that's for efficiency and speed.
Yeah. Yes. That's entirely different.
That's down air resistance.
For ease of drawing.
Things like that.
And I bet she glides through the water like a dolphin. Oh. If you could just never do that again.
No, Lucas! Lucas!
Sequest.
Flipper! What?
I apologize. Bass is apparently off his meds.
I've been off my meds for like 5 years.
That explains a lot.
Very nice. Okay. And you only use red as a color. You're just using the one color, which I think is interesting too.
Well, what I planned to do initially was to have a kind of like a one color, you know, per story. I used red in the first one, and I was going to do like blue in the next one, and different color the next one. I got the second story that I started coloring things blue. I noticed that it looked pretty bad, so I'll go back to red.
I think it works.
Much stuck with red after that. I tried different colors like blue and green, stuff like that, and it just didn't really look any good, and it didn't really seem to. The red kind of stands out against the background, whereas the blue. And green and some of the things I tried pretty much just didn't stand out at all. Kind of didn't really notice they were there exactly. I didn't really kind of get any type of like beneficial effect, so I pretty much just stuck with red because I can't really figure out anything else to do. But
the full color's nice too. I mean,
yeah, I'm in general I kind of prefer that in a way because I'm still trying to go to some degree with the since I've kind of established the sort of, you know, red spot color thing,
right?
With kind of adding some sort of, generally, even the color things have red be sort of predominant color in things. Like you can see, I kind of like
like car.
The top mixture, for instance, like you saturated everything to some degree except for the red car.
Right.
And stuff like that. Kind of keep that as sort of a motif. I generally also most like the sound effects, you know, in red and stuff like that. Kind of still kind of like play it up as an angle of sorts.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever run into a panel where you're like, oh crap, what should be red in this strip, you know, like
I had actually with the second story, that was kind of a problem because sometimes I want to have something in every update that would have color, otherwise it would just be completely black and white, so I was hoping to have something, but then the certain panels couldn't really find anything exactly, so I had to have kind of I had to sort of cheat a bit with like darker red and stuff like that, and things have certain people wearing different colors of red. So I was going to have the guy whose name I forget in the second story. Actually, I forget most names, but I keep my driver's license with me, so I remember my own. But
that's good. Good.
Then I forget where my driver's license is. I think Josh was his name. That's it. That was the other agent in the second story.
Oh, the one that shot her.
Yeah, so I had to eventually decided to have him wearing like a dark red because otherwise the updates were only he appeared. There wasn't really going to be anything, so kind of in a corner there. So I just went with that. But that's another thing was sometimes nowadays like when I'm writing to some degree, I always kind of try to bear that in mind a little bit now. But with like the ones I wrote after that, so it always kind of be something that I could use without having to make it look too weird or weirder than usual.
Yeah, I like the splashes of red. I think it's, you know, it definitely does draw the eye, and it makes it a...
Which splash is the red? The red he uses or when the blood starts flying?
Either way.
Works either for me. Or.
Yeah.
Either
or. Here's an...
Hello? Oh no, Tanya's gone.
Did we lose Tanya again?
Seriously?
Nope, there you are.
No, there you are.
Okay.
Okay, now what?
Damn it. I was I was asking, you have a nipple aversion. Yes?
Oh,
no nipples in the comic? No, I wasn't talking to Fest this time. I know it's probable. it must be a conscious choice because you do go, you know, to pains to kind of put things in front of them.
Well, I tried to, I wanted to keep it sort of, you know, kind of PG-13-ish type of thing, you know, kind of, for the comic itself, we'll get sort of somewhat larger audience, or if there was, I didn't want it to seem like, you know, just like an adult comic also. I want it to be something that was, I want it mainly to be, it's mainly sort of a, I guess like a humor comic, since most things I do don't have any real stories, so humor is pretty well all I can really go for. So it's sort of a humor comic. So I want to have a, you know, somewhat, you know, kind of broader audience to a degree. I didn't, you know, so I want to keep it kind of like a general kind of PG-13 type of general area like that.
At least until you get to year one declassified print version available in October. You can get pre-order now for only $4.99, and all pre-orders get a signed print limited edition.
Yes, so order now. Operators are standing by.
So what exactly is there, like, do you have like new drawings or do you emphasize other things? Do you add nipple impressions out of clothes or what's the difference, I guess? I mean,
well, I have, first there's a, an extra story in it that doesn't appear on the website. It's, like a short story that only appears in that one. And otherwise it's kind of, some of it is new artwork. Some of it's just, you know, moving word bubbles, stuff like that. Kind of, it's nothing, you know, like hardcore or anything. It's basically just, kind of, it would be, if it were like a movie, it would kind of be like from PG-13 to like an R, for instance.
Okay.
Just a little more of something like that. That's basically all it is. But it's the one you should buy because it's better. However, if you really want to buy both to compare, of course.
Oh, you actually do sell both. You sell both versions then.
Yeah, you should probably buy both to compare, and possibly if you want to, you know, buy the other things on the page as well. You know, just to see like the progression of art That's probably the best bet. Probably buy a copy or two of each.
You are a salesman, sir.
Well, I think it's the only way to really get the full effect. You might want to buy a couple of copies in case you lose one.
Well, or, you can make notes in one and then keep the other one.
Yes, one like a work copy and the other one, like a more collectible edition.
That makes
work copy.
Oh! Or
better yet, you buy three copies. One is your work copy. One is your pristine copy. And then the other one you leave at like book drops or libraries so you can share with the world.
Well, you forgot the copy put underneath the your desk so in case it wobbles so you can't work on your work copy, right?
Yes.
But you also need a reserve copy.
Five.
In case the work copy, gets...
It, maybe you have too many
damaged
notes.
Damaged somehow.
Well, then if you make any mistakes in your notes.
And you should get a sixth one just as insurance, flood. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
And they could sell out before, you get your insurance money. So it's good to have one in a safe deposit box as well.
Yes, at least one.
That way you're covered.
So we're up to six. Six
anyway,
copies.
Anyway.
Go out and buy your six copies today.
Moving on. moving on. We have, I don't know. I have nothing. Chat room. That's right. We have a chat room that's live every week. Well, every week you have a show at Webcomic Beacon. Webcomicbeacon.com/live will take you to our TalkShoe page where we broadcast and record our shows, which is typically every Sunday, except next week we will not be here. And every once in a while, obviously, we won't have a show for this or that reason. But you can be a part of the chat room, talk live with other people who are listening to the Webcomic Beacon. And also, I do want to mention that this week, we actually do have a sponsor for this show.
Holy cow. How about them apples?
Them apples are good.
How about them apples there?
I still have yet to actually construct the little blurb I put in the commercial, or the break, and at the beginning of the show. But people can check it out at BrokenSoulPress.com and find the comic Divas Muerte, which is a really awesome-looking comic right now. And let me see if I can pull up the little pitch. A war-torn world on the verge of peace finds itself faced with a grim prophecy and terrifying enemy. Now, in the final days of their world, two warring kingdoms must unite and defend their planet against invading demons from the stars. Divas Muerte is updated Tuesday at BrokenSoulPress.com. Hey, that wasn't too bad, but... So check that out, and if you want to be one of these episode sponsors, just for $5, if you're a non-commercial comic site, as in Zuda would have to pay more than that, I'm saying, like they would ever advertise with us. Hate them. You can check out webcomicbeacon.com, and right underneath our rotating art banner, you can find... advertise the far right and click that and find all the information you need. And right now we're might as well going to do Project Wonderful. Hey, you're sponsoring the Webcomic Beacon slot. And at the very top we have Jaden and Crusader once again have their custom you're listening to Webcomic Beacon advertisement, and you can find Jaden and Crusader at jadenandcrusader.com. It's the one where the guy interrupts everybody. Hey, we should be doing this, and wait, we're listening to the Webcomic Beacon. It's more than that, but I kind of wrecked it last time, so we're just going to go with that. And
it's funny. Go look.
And, of course...
And then outbid them.
Make that price go up! We also have, once again, Yosh of YoshSaga.com with a custom avatar. Not an avatar, a custom ad for this one. With a girl all wrapped up in... I guess giant ribbon that says Femme Fatales. Oh, wait, Femme Fatales. He fixed it. Because I misspelled Fatale as well. So that's awesome. These ads are updating as we speak with a really cool looking art. And so go ahead and check out Yosh at YoshSaga.com. And at the very bottom of each post, we have the regular banner ad for Alone in the Crowd at AIA Crowd. webcomicbeacon.com. And this one basically has, I lost the page again, supporting the Webcomic Beacon since 1962, give or take.
Give or take a decade.
She looks like a little five. Muppet. Oh, that's cool. She looks like a little Sally Muppet, doesn't she? That's neat. I'm sure this comic has nothing to do with Muppets. I was just saying. That
yeah.
Like the little Muppet. From
we do a lot of just saying.
I'm just saying.
That has to be the disclaimer at the end of every show. Just saying.
Just saying.
Can't hold it against this because we're just saying.
Just saying.
Or you're just tacking or whatever.
Whatever. Whatever.
Anyway, so that's a. So that's awesome, and I don't know, I had to break up the conversation. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll figure out what we're doing as you go over to the Spine with Lana website and pre-order your 6 copies today.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Can you
but what if you want to give one as a gift?
Then see? 10. You know, you never know. People come over for the holidays. You're not
expecting. Well, it seems like if,
give
if
one
you
to dad.
9, I mean, it seems kind of shabby to just give someone else one. I mean, if you need 9, I mean, it seems like you should give them the full kit.
9.
Hey, kids, yeah. Can you say whore? No.
I can. Yeah.
So let's see what other let's talk about other comics for just a moment. So anyway, the one I was talking about was the Challenges of Zona, Z-O-N-A, however you want to say that, which is on soulgeek.com. Which has a couple of there are a different version of what the Amazonian woman would be. They have their own people, characters and worlds and whatever. Would she classify? I think she would. I mean, they're not. I don't know, but I'm trying to find other comics we can talk about too. So to spread the love around, you know what I'm saying? You guys are just going to let me sit here, aren't you?
Yeah.
Say, Femme Fatale, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't any idea, but
terrible.
I think I warned you that I know nothing, but.
You did.
Yes.
I was told there would be no math.
That's right. Talk about anything that would be hard, but.
Yeah. I really don't read a lot of really action adventure kind of comics, and those are typically the ones where you would find femme fatales. So I'm not helpful.
Crimson Dark probably has some. Been a while since I read, but I'm sure they have some. But you can have a comedic femme fatale as well, certainly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Another one, now that I think of it, actually, if you're familiar with the Pure and Hidden Truth, there's a character there I think called Dakota, who would probably qualify. I think she's I don't remember if she's like a vampire or what exactly she is, but nonetheless, I think she's pretty well qualified, but... in fact, actually, Cisco Davis, who does the Pure and Hidden Truth, actually, it's a photo comic, and actually had a sent me a photo of the lady that plays Dakota, actually, as Lana. Actually, it's on my fan art page.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think she'd probably qualify as well.
Cool.
That's all I know, but
That's it.
That's all I know.
It all works.
Chat room? Does chat room have any others?
Sunset Grill, perhaps? Femme Fatales and Sunset Grill?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of some, and then I'm trying to think of, well, maybe, no, that's porn.
There are a lot of actually femme fatale figures in porn because, mm-hmm. unfortunately, again, in our society, anyone who is overtly, any female who's overtly sexual, you know, we tend to take that a bit far.
Right. Because it sells.
Somebody's got to molest those pizza delivery guys.
Well, exactly. And yet. Yeah. I think that there is a line in our culture that, you know, if you are aggressive and, you know, what, sex positive, then, you know, you're a whore. It pretty much comes down to any situation you get into. You're just a filthy predator and...
Dirty.
Yeah, and so it does wind up porn, and you know, I guess that's probably why I sort of appreciate the femme fatale notion is that it's a reserved sexuality. It's not like, you know, oh, they're sex positive, they're, you know, they're sexy women, they're powerful women, therefore they sleep with everyone. You know, that isn't the point.
No, it's not.
No, I appreciate the I don't know, logical restraint. Behind the character base.
Just to clarify for some people, I guess they're talking in the chat room. Horror is if you're doing it for money or some sort of possessional gain of a status or monetary. A slut is sex just for sex. Just to clarify that.
I will go you know, one step further. I don't necessarily find whore all that offensive. I think that we all do things in exchange for things, and you know, sometimes socially that works too. We've seen a lot of trophy brides. Come on.
There's whore's not just limited to doing sex, of course, too. But
of course,
like, say, pimping
I'm an attention whore and a validation whore, yeah. And a whore in a million ways. We all are, but slut bothers me because it suggests that there's something wrong with just having sex with as many people as you want to.
And okay, then what's a different name? What's a different word to use in place of slut?
Well, see, I just don't really think that we need to have a word.
No, we have to.
I guess promiscuous works, except it suggests that human beings are only meant to have sex with one person for their entire lives, and if you do something different, then you are promiscuous. So it starts with
a hot chick having a lot of sex.
You're a hot chick, and just leave it at that.
No, but what do you...
Why?
Hot chick is what you are, not what you do.
But why?
Like an avoid mark. How about one of that? About
why do we need to come up with a word, though? Why can't she just be a woman?
Well, she can be a woman as well. That does what? And here, my point is, if you don't like a word, you have to come up with a different word.
I don't. I just stop using the word.
She's a woman who has a lot of sex. She's an avoid mark.
Okay.
It's probably accurate.
She's an avoid mark. That's nice.
Put that in the Urban Dictionary because I bet it's true.
I just don't know. I guess we could just go with stud. Why don't we just take the male vernacular for a slut and just slide it over?
What do you mean the male vernacular?
A stud is like a male that... Well, I mean, that's really the...
Has
the
as much breeding. Sex as possible.
I didn't know... That's
no,
not
it's really
what
the breeding.
Was.
That's where the word comes from.
It's the breeding vernacular.
I thought, like, a stud is just this different version of babe.
No, I'm thinking horse.
I would call guys sluts a lot. I mean, I'm a fucking slut for one, but...
You wish.
No, I actually can... I can kind of back it up, but I'm not going to go into it, but... Anyway, Sean, are you incredibly uncomfortable right now?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Okay. Let's see here. We haven't not yet done the milestones. I know some people are asking. I usually wait to the third segment anyway, but let's go to the inbox. That's right. If you have a milestone that's at 100, 200, etc., or an annual, email it to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And looking in our inbox, let's see here. That one does not count. Sorry. 51 comics after 5 months does not count.
Not really, no.
But, no. So I'm just clicking on the ones that say, hey, it's a milestone. No, that's live stream ad. Let's see here. Let's see. And Angelo Inc., found at angeloinc.com, has hit 100 strips. And this also has some extra stuff to it, so I shall save that for later. And I'll go to another milestone. Yosh of YoshSaga.com has hit, hey, 800 comics as well. So congratulations, as well as advertising on the Beacon all the time. Thank you. Also, we have, I guess, at least I can do is hit 2,000 strips at licd.com. And let's see. Oh, some news. Somebody has mentioned that Girl Genius, ooh, that's one I got to add back to my bookmarks, has won a Hugo Award for the most most recent print volume, volume 8. So that is Phil and Kaya Foglio and colorist Cheyenne Wright, who has won the awards. So let's see. Ooh, I gotta add that back to my things. How often do they update? Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
I do not know.
I think so. Man, I gotta put that back in my thing. All these comics I'm missing out because I totally forgot I checked them. It sucks. Otherwise, then I get people like Mark blame. Oh, I never really read my comic. No, I just kind of forgot a bunch of.
Oh, people, you oh.
Let's see here. Let me check out this news thing real quick.
Dennis was a coffee gigolo for a while until he got caught. So you can be a gigolo. So it doesn't have to be about sex. For him, he just wanted gourmet coffee. So he was hitting on the barista at the coffee cafe. In my comic, at the coffee cafe, just so he could get free coffee, because she never left the coffee shop, so he didn't have to take her anywhere.
See? He's a whore.
He was a coffee gigolo, spelt wrong, but that's okay.
He's a whore. He was trading affection for coffee. He's a cheap whore.
And he got free coffee all he wanted.
All right. Well, I think I'm gonna read this person who also sent in the Angelo Inc. link had a comment about when we were talking about editorial cartoons. And let's see here. He said he can't speak for anyone, but he tries to keep politics out of his strips so far as it's feasible, because it feels like comics are where people want to get away from all the shouting for a little while. And so he says that he wonders how the panel feels about this. Personally, I lump all the political junk together. Doonesbury, never a fan. Much props to GT for making a career of drawing invisible presidents, but not so much for the funny. Except for Mr. Butts. Those strips are hilarious. Also, people get nasty really fast when you get political. And what's it all add up to for the creator? Frank Zappa said it best. You do not change people's minds. They either agree with you or they don't. And so he was looking for reactions on that.
Oh.
And that seems pretty much, yeah, I can agree with that.
If it were up to me, Doonesbury and Mallard Fillmore and there's another conservative one I can never remember. They should all be on the editorial page because they're not really comics anymore. But that's just me.
I don't know. I did like the Mr. Butts ones.
Well, they're all good. I'm not saying they're bad or nothing. I just think, you know, they really aren't comic strips in the real sense. They're really editorial strips.
Right.
Yeah, they are.
Very well done editorial comics versus I have to fucking label every goddamn thing, but yeah.
Wow. Issues.
Well, come on.
Well, think of it this way. They to do a political thing, the cartoonist would have to make it 6 weeks in advance, at least for the newspapers.
Right.
So they're not very topical. That's why Mallard Fillmore fails epically. because he's right now talking about vote McCain or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, wow, we're done with that already. What? I do disagree that, you know, you're never going to change anyone's minds.
When it comes to politics.
When it comes to politics. I mean, I think that, you know, it depends on the person. You know, it comes down to believers and thinkers. So if you're a person who has your political affiliations because you believe their rights, yeah, there's no point. But if you're a person who has your political affiliations because you look at all the issues and you're in and out and, you know, you're really paying attention to what's going on,
right,
you can absolutely change those people's mind because they're, you know, they're making rational decisions based on evidence. The more mm-hmm. evidence you give them, the more their decision changes.
So. Oh, you also have the followers.
Well, see, I put them with the believers.
Oh, okay.
The true believers.
Yeah, it's like arguing with a Christian who is trying to argue back with you that your religion's wrong. You know, you face this all the time when you're at college, especially. And
yeah,
they always rope you in. It's like free this, but you know we're gonna talk to you. You know, free candy bar, free pop, but
we'll
we're gonna
feed
talk
you,
to you.
But
about.
You gotta listen to us. Yay!
I used to get in debates with them all the time. Talking about stuff until finally I just said, you know what, I can admire your enthusiasm for your beliefs. You're just not going to convince me. I can at least see your side. I wish you could do the same. And I shook his hand and I didn't talk to him again. You know, I got to a point where that's it. You know, obviously you're not trying. So.
Well, yeah, it comes down again, you know, you're debating with a believer. They believe what they believe and nothing you say is going to change that. And that's fine.
Right.
They assume, however, oftentimes that you are not because you do not share their belief. You are therefore not a true believer. You are just a person who's lost. And so all they have to do is show you the right way. I mean, I get this all the time because I'm a new atheist. I'm out there. I'm like, no, I think you're silly.
You know, I may be lost, but I have a Garmin to help me with that.
Yeah. I was born okay the first time. I'm that person, you know? I can be brash about it and I can be rude about it and you know, I get into those. I get roped into those conversations a lot because people say, "Oh, but you're so nice." You know, certainly you're so nice. You must understand that I'm right.
Well, how could you be so evil when you're nice?
I don't have to be an asshole. But again, I understand their thing. You know, they have very much. Oftentimes, fundamentalists have a for us or against us attitude, and I have been told by Christians that I'm a Satanist. And when I say, "Well, I don't believe in Satan either," that's kind of the point of the atheism thing.
Right.
They say you don't know that you serve him, but you do.
You sure?
At one
not?
Point, I'm like, "Well, then serving him's really easy because it hasn't really come into my consciousness at all." So, okay, I mean, I can't talk to those people. Yes. There's no conversation there. So,
you little devil, you.
Yeah.
And Sean, what do you think?
Oh, about political cartoons or
whatever.
What tangent we're just, on, I don't know.
We should be the only ones getting hate mail. Come on in, Sean.
Yeah.
Water's
growing. About political cartoons, I've never really cared about them my whole life. I'm never really greatly into politics myself at all, but it seems like you do have the problem that after about a week or so, there's kind of no point in reading them. I mean, they're kind of old news. I mean, if you look at things from like a couple of years ago or something, or even go further than that. I've looked at, I've seen books of like Thomas Nast and stuff like that back from, you know, 100 years ago, and basically you really can't understand them at all. They don't really age well at all, and it seems like, I think that's probably why you don't really see that many collections of like political cartoons and books or anything like that, because
right.
They are more just kind of more editorial really than actually a comic. There's not really much to the comic other than just commenting on some political issue, which then after a pretty short time, no one can even really remember because it probably wasn't that important to begin with.
Yeah, unless you find it in a history book in high school to keep kids from being too bored from reading about history. There's a old political cartoon in there from the time.
Yes, but unless you know a whole lot about BuzzTweet, it doesn't really makes much sense to you, but
right,
it means nothing. Yeah,
but of course, these days we all have blogs attached to you know, people like you know, Girl versus Robot, which has a blog attached to her political cartoons or editorials, and so that's kind of you kind of lose the context. Yeah, so I guess that's probably why people have to label things all over the place, so people can know what the hell they're talking about. Then again, you could probably go back to some of those older ones, change the labels, and still make it relevant to today. And
because humans are still humans, and we still act like the animals we are in very predictable ways. Yeah. Change the labels. Keep moving.
Anyway, let's see here. So next week we will not be here. Because I am camping. So I'll be
not because of this show. Not because of this episode. That's not why we won't be here.
It's certainly been a good enough show to hold us for 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially
if we had 11 copies of that book.
That's true. You should all be reading the new book that you're about to get.
Yes. That's right, yes.
Speaking anyway.
We'd have the next 2 weeks, yes.
Oh, speaking of a book... let's see, we had mentioned it last week on the Beacon, and Tanya, you weren't here when we talked about it, because I don't know if you listened to the old shows or not, but we were talking about, I think I sent an email too, about doing some sort of like an anthology or compilation book.
Yes.
Published by the webcomic Beacon, where we have a bunch of short stories, or even single, you know, stories or pages or strips or something like that, and... with a general theme and get a bunch of people on this, and I guess if we can do it, get a bunch of pre-orders, but otherwise the initial idea was to do a print-on-demand sort of thing and have some fun with it, you know, because, you know, there's really no real big loss with a print-on-demand thing. And what do you think, Tanya? Would you want to see this happen?
I think as long as we had a nice central theme and we're really able to pull, you know, have a reason to have all those different comics in there, I think it would be a good idea.
Okay.
Especially since, you know, we do kind of deal in amateur areas and not everyone has either enough material or enough of a fan base to really make sense of doing their own book.
Right.
You know, maybe. Yeah.
And if you do like a little bit, you could do a lot of effort for just a little bit to fancy it up, versus then oh man, I got 52 pages and I got it like, you know, blah, blah. So it can be a short little fun and whatever, we can work on all the details later. Maybe we'll go ahead and I'll start like a poll. I wouldn't say I could do a poll to see if you're interested, but you could just like vote on or something like that. Yeah, we'll do a poll. Are you interested? Would you be interested in putting your own thing in here? Or what would sort of – and I'll just open up the forum and say, hey, what type of themes should we do? And we'll just let it roll out on its own from there. I think that'd be a really good idea. And I just have to bring this up because I do.
Okay.
Last week, we mentioned it last Sunday, but also last week was Jenny Everywhere Day, which was really awesome. We had a lot of participation. I do want to I do want to thank Benj Christensen, who did some organizing and got a bunch of people to do some extra art for Jenny Everywhere Day, and Dave, including Dave Bruce, who does Taking the Bypass. He got a hold of Scott Wagner, who does Atomic Robo. And he also found that Mac Leperrier, Marc Leperrier, who does the art for Boxcar Astronaut, did a nice four-page Jenny Everywhere story, which is really sweet. And it's cute, too. And you can check that out. All these links you can check out right now at theshifterarchive.com, and not to mention... Cisco Davis Jr., who does the Pure and Hidden Truth webcomic, and his up-and-coming project, Hidden Truth Radio, which has the first ever publicly seen live-action Jenny Everywhere in an official trailer for his Hidden Truth Radio web series coming this winter, 2010. Now, on top of that, we still have... a Jenny Everywhere birthday art jam, so head on over to theshifterarchive.com, go to the forum, and sign up if you want to draw a Jenny in around this big giant birthday cake that I had drawn by Diana Nock of Jinxfield.com. It's a nice cake, but it needs some Jennies around it. So,
for Jennies.
Yeah, so go ahead, check that out. And while you're there on theshifterarchive.com, you might as well check out When Casting Calls, which is available now at Indie Planet. Why am I mentioning this? Well, we've been talking about this the whole episode because I'm a whore. So,
man whore.
Man whore. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, check that all out. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. excitable. Anyway, this is pretty much it for the Webcomic Beacon this week. We are not here next week. We're still going to figure out what we're going to do the week after that. But this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
You get to go next now, Mark. You're the new Wonder Boy.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Tanya of Vetapone.com.
And this is Sean Harrington, and you'll never remember the URL, so just click the link.
There you go.
That's all for this week. Tune in the next time we record the Webcomic Beacon.
Did you tweet?
No, I didn't tweet.
Go ahead and tweet.
I don't want to. God damn it. I fucking hate this thing.
Yeah, you fucking hate it so much that you're on it all the time.